Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Our program tonight is entitled EchoLink. Questions and answers. So if you have any problems with EchoLink, you have any questions, you have any comments, we sure hope that you'll come aboard. But anyone that is part of our recording this evening, because I always record my sessions, will be part of that recording for future presentation on our website as a podcast.
Good evening, everybody connected. Gordon here, KY6V, Central Florida. Couple of quick comments before we get the program started. We're going to be talking about TIN EchoLink questions and answers this evening. And I'd like to say that according to my research, if I did it correctly, we have not put a program on like this since June, early June of 2011. We preceded that with a couple of programs on EchoLink called EchoLink 101 and EchoLink 102, where we just simply go over, you know, the setups and try to establish a good understanding of what parts of the program do what. Over the last few weeks or so, we've been talking particularly amongst the board members that we have noticed a great influx of new members, and a good majority of those new members here with South Cars are brand new to EchoLink as well. So we thought this might be timely and helpful, so we're going to run this program tonight. What we're going to do is just open it up for questions and answers and field them as they come. I know that Scott has got one particular question of interest that I'm going to throw to him sort of early, and then we'll just sort of open it up and see how the evening goes. But thank you for coming. And this is KY6V for South Cars. Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we'll open it up and see how the water flows. Over.
All right. Well, thank you there, Gordon. N5HUM returning. And yeah, you know, when you're setting up the EchoLink, you know, they tell you to make sure you have these ports open. And I wanted to know, you know, on my computer it was pretty easy. I just pressed the button that said allow it, and it did it. But on other computers I had to sit there. I remember the first time I set up EchoLink, it took me a good month to get it set up because of these ports. And I wanted to know, what is the meaning and use for the ports that they want to use, 5198, 5199, and 5200. And thank you there. So back to you, Gordon. KY6V from N5HUM.
Well, you know, Scott, that's a great question. KY6V here for South Cars. It gets more involved, you know, if you have a computer just plugged into your modem. You only have to worry about, in most cases, just the firewall setup on your computer. But if you've got a router in between, the router's got a firewall, then you've got to worry about setting it up there. And if you're on a DSL system, the modem itself, believe it or not, on a DSL modem, is a router in itself. It has its own DHCP server, and it has its own firewall, and it gets touchy to get started. But each of our computers, Scott, has the ability of transmitting and receiving on 65,535 ports, believe it or not. And some of these ports are pre-assigned and used every day, like port 80, for example, is your normal day-to-day internet worldwide web. Ports 25 and 110 are commonly used for your email receive and transmit ports, and so goes the assignments. Some programs that you may be using, including Echolink, use special ports for communication outside the area of the normal day-to-day activity. So in the case of Echolink, yes, you're correct. It uses 5198 and 5199 for transmitting the VoIP segment and receiving and using port 5200 for the exchange of text related material, such as your text box down in the corner. Did that answer your question in a general stance, Scott? And if so, I'll open it up for any other comments. Over.
Okay, yeah, Gordon, that sure did. That sure did. And but I do have one more question to add, and it may be a little bit off topic of Echolink, but 65,000, you said, that's quite a number there for ports. Is there an actual assignment for all of those ports, or do like programs like Echolink, or is that the only program around that uses those ports, or could that be could there be a conflict of interest with another program? And I think that would be my final question there, unless you spark some more interest there. So back to you once more.
Well, that in itself is a good question too. You can go into your computer and search on Google for what are the assignments of the port numbers on a computer, and you'll be just absolutely flabbergasted. Just about all of those 65,535 are spoken for by one means or another. They have a situation called reserved for and open to all, and you know, I've never seen any conflict happening on Echolink's ports, but this is not to say that somebody else isn't using it either. They try to assign, Scott, to the mode of operation. If you're running UDP like we do on Echolink protocol, that's in a segment of the ports that could be assigned. If you're running TCP, it's in another segment, and all goes you know, with the various protocols. Does that sound somewhat understandable, sir? Over.
Oh, absolutely, and I appreciate that. So it's very similar to our band plan that we have, you know, different different frequencies for different, you know, areas, so understandable. All right, well, thank you very much there, Gordon, for answering my question, and if I think of anything else later on, I will come back in. So with that, I'll send it back to you. KY6V from N5HUM.
Okay. You know, I was so used to calling you Mr. Slidell. Now I've got to stop and think where you've moved to, you rascal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, any other comments or questions regarding this question of port assignment of 5198, 5199, and 5200, please call now. Okay, let's move on to some other questions, and I'm very interested to see if anybody's going to come up and ask... you know, why do I have to be put in the busy, and how come there's only 16 stations that are listed on the user list, and oh, there's just a lot of things that I'd like to hear from tonight. You know, there's a couple of major mountains that you climb when you first start. Getting your audio level set at the right level, getting your port assignment set, understanding... how to set up different configurations of push-to-talk, and on it goes. So, lay it on me, ladies and gentlemen. If I don't have the answer, I'll find it for you and get back. The floor is open for questions. KY6V.
Sierra United, November.
Victor, X-ray Papa.
Okay. Thank you, you two. Hi, Miss Sunshine again. I thought you knew all about this. And VXP, hi, Rick, Mr. Ohio up there. S-U-N, please. Go ahead.
Well, this is Kilo 6, Sierra United November, and you must have been reading my mind, Gordon. You know, every net that we do, every time I am connected, I always see people who are disabled because they're in conferencing, because they actually haven't put themselves in busy. So I want you to explain to everyone. I know the answer, but, you know, I think there's people out there that don't. Why it is so important to be in the busy state or non-conference mode while using a major server, and it's especially important, I think, for South Cars. So that is one of my questions, and I know the answer, but, you know, we may have some new hams out there who are not sure what they should be doing. So could you answer that question for me?
Well, that's a good one, too. You know, thank you, Kathy, and I was hoping that Tony up there in Pennsylvania, VFV, I think is his call. He's a new member and a new to Echolink, and I was hoping he would be here tonight only because he gets bounced off the server faster than anybody else and in quite some numbers here from what I've been seeing lately, and I just haven't had a chance to talk with him. But most of the major VOIP conferences servers, Kathy, such as South Cars, employ a blocking system to allow a station to connect while to not allow a station to connect while in conference. This is done to stop audio feedback loops, and those problems can occur, and in some cases are very hard to stop without turning off the server. By placing yourself in busy or turning off your private conferencing ability within Echolink will preclude you from being disconnected from the server. The moment the server detects that you have gone into conference with another station, the server will disconnect you. Now, let me amplify that just a little bit. There's several ways to roam. The five-fingered hand up in your toolbar, if you click on that, you go into busy. Nobody can connect to you while you're connected to SCARS, as an example. You won't get blown off. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. The other alternative, depending on how you run your operation, is you can go into the setup material and turn off your conferencing, where it will only be a one-on-one at one time. I, on the other hand, use yet a third procedure. There is an accept and deny area in the setup where you can set up a stream of people that can connect to you at any time and nobody else can. And I do this particularly with our board members. The board members are open to me at any time. But anybody else trying to get into my system when I'm on 24-7 primarily with SCARS cannot connect to me direct. Let me buy another nickel. Now, I might add, when you're in that type of mode, you can connect out without any trouble. You just cannot, it will not accept any inbound traffic. And I hope it doesn't sound rude to do that, but the problem is that when you're sitting on the SCARS server, you can see the entire user group on the screen, those that are connected, or the majority of them anyway. And then somebody connects to you when you're in this accept list, like one of the board members calls me, it just blows me right out of the water. It takes my user list back to only two listings, the inbound coming station and one line for the SCARS server. I no longer have the detail of SCARS, which is okay when it's important. The downfall of this is that you just have to turn around and disconnect from SCARS and reconnect to SCARS to get back to the whole display. Does that make sense, Kathy, and do you think it makes sense to others? Over.
Well, you know, it makes perfect sense to me, and I think when I first became involved with South Cars and Echolink, you were the one that actually helped me with that and told me what I needed to do. I'm not sure if I ever got bounced off, but you know, I see it with Jim, WB4LBM, all the time. Someone connects to him and he's bounced off. And you know, it doesn't take them long to come back, you know, but it's just annoying if you're in the middle of something that you get bounced. So maybe with time everyone will understand what you said, but you were perfect with my answer and in my question. You know, I have tons more to ask you, and hopefully we'll have enough time this evening. So thank you for sharing that with everyone, and I really sure hope that helped. And I do agree, I think his name's Anthony, if I recall, FVP or FBF. You know, he's always getting bounced off. So it's a shame that he's not here tonight. I think it would help him greatly. So I'll throw it back to you so you can pick up the next station, unless there's others who have answers or questions regarding that topic as well. Back to you, KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra, United November.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. KY6B here for South Cars. Let's do it this way, guys and gals. I'm going to go ahead and pick up Rick up there in Ohio, VXB, and see what's on his mind at the moment, and then we'll open it up after Rick to cover any comments or questions regarding Kathy's question and anything that maybe Rick has posed. VXP, the governor of Ohio. Good evening, sir, and come aboard.
KY6Z in the net, N1VXP. Yeah, it was great that you mentioned about that busy, because I've had that happen a couple of times on other conferences that I would be sitting there listening, and all of a sudden I get disconnected, and I'm like, I have to reconnect, and luckily I've never been a situation having it happen while I was talking, but it does get a little annoying, and now I know I'm going to have to take care of that problem. My question is regarding timing out on the different nets. I have played around with the timing setting, and just kind of curious as to maybe your thought or anybody's thought as to what would be a good overall time to set it on, because each net has different timing levels for transmitting. I'll probably have other questions later. KY6Z in the net and 1GXP.
Okay, some good questions, Rick. Thank you. KY6V here for South Cars. Before I forget about mentioning this, and it should be mentioned that when you go into the busy, let's say you go up to that five-fingered hand up in the toolbar, and you click that once, it'll put you in the busy. And you'll remain there as long as you're connected. Once you disconnect from either the server or the station that you're talking to, and then connect to somebody else, you're not in busy anymore. That's just the way the program works. So you have to remember to get up there and re-click once you have reconnected. You get around that by, you know, changing the setups in some of the avenues that I talked about here earlier. My recommendation is twofold. I see that you're running as a single user and not as a sysop. You can go into the setup page and go to timing. I think it's setup. It's either setup or preference. And you should set all of your major timeouts to zero. You have a exceeded maximum transmit time category. And I think that's set for 210 seconds under default. I run mine at zero. You also have an exceeded no activity timer. That should be set at zero. And let the individual timer on the server, if you're in server operation, take care of quieting you down if you're not Johnny on the spot. The whole setup, not only timing, but other recommended settings, Rick, are on our website, www.voip.southcars.com. There's a page that is devoted to recommended settings when use timing settings and other settings when you're using EchoLink, sir. I suggest that maybe when you have a chance, you take a look, Rick. Over.
Very good. Yeah, because I was on one of the other conferences, and apparently I thought I was, resetting. But because there are other repeaters hooked up, they have their own timing, and that seems to be the major problem with transmitting, and people on other repeaters say, well, I didn't hear what he said because it timed out my repeater. So that was the main concern with that. And 1-3-XP back to net control.
Okay. Understand, Rick, and that's very true. You just have to train yourself, and this will come automatically the more you do this. And you're quite a regular with us, and we appreciate that, Rick. But you'll learn when you've talked too long. If you can keep your drop the carrier for a second or two just before 3 minutes, you'll cover all, just about all repeaters and servers without being stalled in the middle of the river. Most of the servers are very gentlemen in their activity. You know, if you get muted because you've gone over the server situation, you don't get disconnected or booted out of town. You just get silenced until you unkey. And once you unkey, Rick, you can start transmitting again, assuming that somebody's not already transmitting once you unkey. Does that make sense, sir? Over.
Very well. Yeah. Yeah. What I had before, I had it at set at 210. Apparently, I guess some of the servers don't go quite that long, and I still timed out, but I understand about the unkeying and keying up. And I like the idea that the little reminder, the chime comes in and the countdown timer. Like I say, when I had it at 210, I never really went up to the 210 until recently, and then I said, okay, and I realized that some were set at 200. So that's why I was bringing up that question. And 1-3-XP back to net control.
Were you being timed out at, 200's not, that's only 10 seconds. Were you being timed out at 200, Rick, over?
Yeah, I had a couple of them, and that's why I set it back to, I said, okay, well, maybe I should just do it the 2 minutes. And like I say, when that close to the 2 minutes pops up, the little chime goes off, and then the countdown timer. So I know I stay within the time on the conference itself.
Okay. Well, let me roll the program on here. It'll work out. I've known some repeaters that have run a very short timer, like a minute and a half. I mean, and that just cuts your throat before you get to the point you're trying to make. And they are out there, so it all depends on what you're working through. All right, guys and gals, this is South Cars. We're talking about the TIN EchoLink question and answers here this evening. My name is Gordon, calls KY6V. Do we have any comments on pertaining to Kathy's busy state situation or what Rick was just discussing, please? Over. Okay, I guess we beat that one to death. Let's move it on. Do we have any fresh questions here? And there's lots to talk about here tonight. I suppose we could stay here till midnight if we had enough interest. But we'll just play it by ear. Looking for additional questions, please. KY6V for South Cars.
RMO.
Oh, my goodness gracious. There's a musician in the house. Hello. Gary, good evening. Throw it at me. I know you want to stump me. Over.
Well, good evening, Gordon, and good evening, everybody. It's a delightful 22 degrees here in Syracuse, and we've got an equally delightful 20-mile-an-hour or so wind on it, so it's just making it feel just great for all of us here. But it's great to be here tonight, and this has been a very interesting program so far. I know, you know, this is the tool that we use. EchoLink is the tool that we use, and it's great to find out a little bit more about it. And I had a couple of questions that came to mind, and we need your. I could certainly use your sage wisdom, sir, on this. And but one of them is that I've noticed that I can't see more than 16 stations on the EchoLink user list. That's one question. I actually have two tonight. And I'm sure I'll have some more later on too. But what's coming to mind right now is I can't see more than 16 stations on that user list. And also, what is the use of the website document on HTTP right on the internet site on the voipnet.southcars.com/users? What is the use of that document? Perhaps, sir, you can enlighten me. This is KC2RMO. Back to the net.
Oh, let me say, that's just a grand question, or two questions. And I'd rather guess that a lot of people don't know what the answer is going to be on this, Gary. KY6V here. First of all, the current software release for the EchoLink program does not include the ability to see beyond 16 stations at a time on that user list over on the right of the display. It is therefore difficult for a station, you know, to see where they are on the listing at any given point of time. You get into one of our major nets, and we've got 30, 40, 50 people connected in there, and you're only seeing 16 of them. We at South Cars... That is a problem of the current software design, okay? So we at South Cars, quite a while ago, Gary, recognizing this deficiency, have created a total user list that, excuse me, I'm getting a frog here, that can be found at voip.southcars.com/users that you just quoted. And this further gives you additional options of taking a connected station directly to their QRZ posting. And, you know, it doesn't sign you in, go through all of that baloney. It takes you directly to that user's page. Or this form, this URL, will also directly take you to the information on the South Cars VOIP roster. So what we have tried to do is to make available a website page for all of our members or anybody that wants to use it that gives you a listing of everybody and some frills to go elsewhere right from that page should you want more information. How does that sound, Gary? Over.
That, sir, sounds terrific. And as a matter of fact, I was... playing around with it as you were explaining it, and it's as advertised. That's great. And I never knew about the limitation with the software, but that's good to know too. It was always a curiosity to me that all I could ever see was 16. So this is good to have that little bit of knowledge underneath the hat here. That's great to know that, sir. Thank you. And we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yeah, I'll throw in a little other tidbit. I don't know if you're... Of course, you're running in single-user mode. When you go into a sysop mode where you would set up a dash L or a dash R or something, Gary, it gives you what we call an 8080 page, which is a remote page that you can bring up. It's like our URL user list. And I don't know why, but you get a listing of 23 total on that one. This is all the Echolink program, where you get only 16 on the main program. So, you know, think about that and say, I beg your pardon. Okay, any questions from the floor? Any comments regarding this particular area that we're covering, please? Over. Okay, we're going to mosey right along. We're looking for new questions. This is South Cars, and it's a TIN question and answer session this evening regarding Echolink. Gordon here, KY6V. Call now, please.
This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. You know, I talked to George earlier today, and I know he really had a question for you. I think it was about the website. So I think I want you to call on George, KW4LCB, and see if he can come aboard with his question, and I'm sure you can answer it. And I know he's out there, so Gordon, can you call on George and see what his question is for this evening?
I sure can. KW4LCB, the mayor of Orange City. Are you out there, George? What's Kathy talking about, over?
KW4, my Charlie Bravo, do I get it now?
Yeah, you sure do. You're room tall, over.
Well, great day. Well, good evening, Gordon. I heard you mention something earlier there about the web page. Just what all is contained there. I mean, how can it kind of tell me what I've got to do and how to get there? And hopefully this is coming true there. I don't know what happened the first time I tried to check in, but you got us now.
Yeah, sounds like you're on the 7,000 and sounding great. Well, I don't know which web page you're talking about, George. We offer several. They're all posted on our breaking news portion on the website. I was just talking about the user list where you can find out everybody that's connected to the server and play with that. We also offer a complete server log, and that can be found at voip.southcars.com/log, L-O-G, dot Papa Hotel Papa, P-H-P. The web page is a timestamp log, you know, of all activity that's taking place on the SCAR server. And it's usable for diagnostic and accountability tracing, and it's open and accessible to our entire membership, or anybody else for that matter, that has internet access and pulls up that particular page. I use it quite frequently, George. If I get timed out in the middle of the night, as an example, I have several sources, but I seem to go to that page first and say, okay, I put in the find it box, my call, and it scrolls right down and says, Gordon, you blew it and timed out at 2:54 a.m. During the night. So does that answer your question, George? Over. Okay, apparently he's having a keying problem. George will come right back to you. Does anybody have any comments or questions regarding what we're talking about? An additional URL page available for the SCAR server. It's just a master log. Tells you when you checked in. Tells us when you checked out. Tells you what rotation number you were on the check-in sequence. Tells us what time we sent you the greeting message of welcome to South Cars, etc., etc. Any questions on that, please? Over. Okay, hearing not, George, are you back, or do we need to come back with you later? Over.
We'll try it again, Gordon, see if I got it now. Yeah, I believe I do. I see the little old a blue hickey going up and down there. You answered my question, my friend. Thank you. I'll probably have another one later on down, but we'll stand by and see just how much more we can learn about this EchoLink program we use.
Okay. Thanks, George. Well, stick around. We're going to be covering an awful lot of stuff and a lot of things you've been in before, so your expertise would be very helpful. Any other comments on that question, that URL that we just talked about, please? All right, KY6V for South Cars. We're talking about question and answers relative to EchoLink this evening on our TAIN program. Before I really open it up, I want to send it up to Erlene in Indiana, November Bravo 9 Hotel. I know she's in the middle of dinner, but it seemed to me that I saw somewhere that she had a question also. Erlene, are you with us, and what's up? Over.
Well, good evening, Gordon, and hello to everyone on the net. And yes, I was eating dinner while the net was going on and enjoying the net here. I do have a question about something that might be interesting to people who are new to EchoLink. And Gordon, my question is, what information may be found at www.echolink.org?
Hey, that's a grand question, too. Thank you, Erlene. I'll tell you, just a whole bucket full of information. It's a great site. www.echolink.org is, the home website for EchoLink. We call it headquarters. And this is where you can download the program, further find a wealth of information and tips. I think Jonathan Taylor, the designer of EchoLink, and the crew that he has working with him have just done an excellent job. First, high-quality kudos go to the organization in the way that they developed the help file, which is embedded right in the EchoLink program. I mean, it just tells you everything that you need to know and even more. And then when you actually go into their home site, they just have pages after pages of information, tips, handling firewall problems, the different revisions of the EchoLink programs and what took place in those revisions, and it just goes on and on. So the help file in the program and the home headquarters, I think, have covered just about everything that needs to be covered. Erlene, over.
Well, thank you very much for that, Gordon. That answers my question, and B9H.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody out there that has any comments or questions about what we just discussed, please? Over. All right. Let's open up the floor for any other questions that we have not covered so far. Call now, please. Gordon here, KY6B.
Sierra United, November.
Hey, I think I know you. S-U-N. Hi. Stand by. Anybody else? All right, Miss Sunshine, front and center. What are you going to try to catch me on this time?
Well, Gordon, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. You know I never catch you on anything, but, you know, I know how you helped me out in the beginning when I was very new to EchoLink and the PTT, and, you know, that's one of my questions because I still hear it from stations out there. They're still using that space bar, which is causing them problems. And you help me out with the control. And, you know, I got a problem with my laptop right now, and so I'm using a different keyboard. And the control thing is a little different for me, but it's working okay. You know, here's my question for you, and I think I have two for you. What are the most common problems encountered when first installing and attempting to use EchoLink? And you know we've all had those. And why in specific is it recommended not to use that space bar for the PTT function? And you helped me through that. I've never had that problem. I've heard you help many others. So I want you to clarify that for everyone and And I think you could have some questions out there, because I'm sure a lot of people still use that space bar. So KY6B, not a tough question for you. You helped me greatly, so I'm sure you can answer it. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, those are some great questions, too. Thank you, Kathy. KY6V here, South Cars. Well, let's see how I want to attack this. Proper audio adjustment, proper port forwarding, proper timing configurations are all common mountains to climb when first getting started. And as I just mentioned to Orlean, you will be... You'll find helpful information in the help file found in the program, and also tips and recommendations out of the website, our website. We've spent a lot of time in pulling up pages on trying to address these startup problems, so you can get a lot of help there. And then, of course, going to echolink.org direct is an excellent source also. Now, getting into your other part of the question, the Echolink program gives you the option of using keys on your keyboard to activate PTT action between transmit and receive. And there are a number of keys that can be picked, but the spacebar key has proven itself to be a problem. The spacebar is so common to all of the programs that you run that you will find from time to time that that key has been stolen by another program. You may have be running in the background. It may be minimized in the taskbar, but it'll grab it. And when this happens, it's no longer accessible for you to use on Echolink. So we suggest very strongly that you pick some other key for this function. And I heard you mention the control key. That's very common for a lot of us that that use, and we normally use the right control key on the first line of keys on a normal keyboard. But that's up to operator discretion. Does that sort of cover what I think you were asking, Kathy? Over.
It sure does, Gordon. You know, a few years back when I first got on, I had the space bar, because I think that's what they bring it up normally for everyone to bring up, and you encouraged me to go to another key. I've gone to the right control key. I've never had a problem, and that is really, really great advice. And so I thought that was a very, very important question. And we all have had problems with Echolink. You know, every once in a while, Echolink all of a sudden will go down, and you all know that. We will lose Echolink, and we have problems with that, but it never uninstalls it. But I have a few questions further down, but I'd like to see if you can get any comments and any further questions. But thank you for answering that for me, and I hope it helped others out there who may have had problems. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay. Thanks for all that, Kathy. I'm going to make a candid opinion here about Echolink going down. I have found Echolink to be an extremely stable program. If it goes down, if it disconnects, if it removes itself from accessibility, it's normally not the Echolink program, it's some other source. You've lost internet connectability, take you down in a heartbeat. The ISP has developed a problem that's serving your particular location. There's been a power failure, no UPS in the system. It just goes on and on. But Echolink, in my opinion, is just a very strong, stable, and well-written piece of software. Okay, before we move on here, anybody else with any comments or questions regarding what we're talking about here with the mountains to climb when you first start, and also try to stay away from using the bloomin' space bar on your keyboard for PTT. Any questions, please?
RMO.
Hey, that's that guy up in Syracuse. Hi, Gary, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. It is that guy up in Syracuse. I have a quick question, and you may or may not be familiar with it, but when I changed to the new setup, I changed platforms, too. So I went from Windows to OS X. And the client that EchoLink, the EchoLink client for OS X, is a little different interface than the Windows version, and I don't know if you're familiar with it at all, and if you might have any tips for that too, because I know you helped me out just like Kathy with setting up the Windows client. The interface is a little different. Like I said, you have to actually. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and play around with it too much. I'm actually right now, rather than toggling it with the space bar or in the what the default is for a keyboard shortcut in the Echo Mac, they actually use the Control plus Return keys that you actually use too. Or you can just click on it with the mouse, and I'm mousing it right now, but I want to get into it and get it a little more familiar like I had it with the Windows program, too. So I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but if you are, do you have any tips for that? I'll turn it back to you. This is KC2, RMO, back to the net.
No, that's sort of out of the area that I'm familiar with, but let me ask you a couple of questions. I love that comment, mousing it. Are you using the scroll bar as a on and off switch or what?
Nope. It's just the, and as a matter of fact, I haven't, like I say, I haven't even gotten into the mapping on it yet. So, I mean, I just, when I switched everything over, it was late Friday night, and I didn't get a chance to really try anything out until Saturday night. So I was just, it was really pretty much like, okay, here we go. You know, it's either going to work or it's not. And I had a backup. I had the laptop, you know. But so I really haven't had a chance to play around with it too much. There's probably some mapping that I can do that would make it a lot more like the Windows client. But right now it's just kind of a little awkward, but it's not too bad. I mean, I could certainly click a mouse, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Gary, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for that, but I could probably pull somebody together to talk with you that's more Linux and Mac-based. It has been my experience, sir, that those that are using a Mac will shortly get discouraged at Mac EchoLink only because it's, you know, it does the initial job fine. It does not give you all of the attributes that the full EchoLink program does. Most of these people that I have talked to in the past have put a board in the Mac, and I don't recall the exact name of this anymore, a program called something like WINS. Or something close to that, which is a Windows crossover program to the Mac format. And it gives them the entire Windows program for EchoLink. And now they can run up and down and do a lot of things that they couldn't do before. Have you considered that, sir? Over.
Well, actually, yeah, I haven't run EchoLink that way. The program, there's a couple of programs that you can do that way. There's a actually a very good virtual environment called Parallels that you know you just load XP into a folder, believe it or not, on the into a directory on the Mac, and it treats it just as if it was a partition on the drive. And you can run any Windows-based program out of that. The other thing, too, is that you can use what they call Boot Camp in OS X, and that'll boot it into a Windows partition. So you can switch between, you know, back and forth. I wanted something that would work natively. If I could, you know, if we have to go playing games, we can do that, too. It's just... a question of time for, you know, messing around with stuff and getting it tweaked out. Right now, this is working pretty well. So it hasn't really bothered me too much, but and any trade-offs in the interface is a lot simpler, I'll say that for sure. But any trade-offs in the interface, probably, you know, it's the improvement in audio quality would probably make up for that, but we'll see. So, you know, it's an experimental situation, so we'll see how everything shakes out. But thank you, sir. Appreciate the input. I really do. This is KC2RMO. Back to the net.
All right. Thank you very much, Gary. Any comments from the audience at this point, please?
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
That sounds like Mr. Orange City. Go ahead, Mr. T.
Well, thank you, Gordon. When we was talking about PT, T, whichever one might decide to use there, you know, and occasionally, you know, we have sticking keys. So let me say one thing for sure. You always got that fault, little old lightning bolt up in the left-hand corner of the screen, and you can hover your mouse over there and can click you on or click you off just for emergency sake. If you know, a lot of times I can't get unkeyed, so I have to grab my mouse up there and go over to that little old lightning bolt. I just thought I want to see if we can slip this one in there. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, thank you.
Well, thank you for that, George. KY6V here for South Cars. That's an excellent point. What George is saying here, guys and gals, is that let's say you're one of these people that's using a spacebar. And it's not necessarily a sticky key. It's just got grabbed by another program. And you can't get out of transmit, or you can't get from receive to transmit because that spacebar is no longer usable to you. You can override the situation, and this is what George is pointing out, by just running your cursor up to that lightning bolt in the toolbar. And if you're in transmit, you click that lightning bolt, left-click it just once. It'll take you back to receive. Or if you click it one more time, it'll take you back to transmit, and it'll totally override whatever problem you have on the keyboard. Did I say that correctly, George? Over.
Oh, what can I say, Six Victor? You and that silver tongue, I guess you got it right. But always good to have a backup in your pocket. Thank you, sir. KW4, Remark, Charlie Bravo.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, George. I'm writing the South Cars Administration text box, which is separate from the normal EchoLink text box in the lower right. And I see that Kathy made a comment to you, Scott. Did you have a question coming up, sir? Over. HUM, please.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. Thank you very much. N5HUM returning. And I wanted to ask some more about the port forwarding because, you know, I don't know too much about that. Never fooled with it before until the EchoLink program. And so I figured some other people out there could be having some problems with that too. And what I wanted to know is there a specific thing about it when you're setting the port forwarding system? Is there something specific to think about when setting that up? And that's my question. Thank you there, Gordon. KY6V from N5HUM.
Well, that's an excellent question too, Scott, and that's just as broad as it is wide. KY6V here for South Cars. Your firewall in either your computer or router, or both, as you know, needs to be open up for ports 5198, 5199 UDP, and 5200 TCP. Your internal IP address will need to be known for the computer that is running EchoLink. And this address will need to be entered into your router port forwarding setup. So, how do we get around this big problem? You start with your computer and make sure that your inboard firewall, let's assume the only thing you're using is the firewall in your operating system, has acknowledged to open up these ports. Then you go to your router, and your router says, okay. You go to the port forwarding page on your router, and you put in something like 5198 through 5200, both protocols. They've got an option in there that just says both, instead of being either UDP or TCP. And then it asks you for your internal IP address. Now you got to figure out what that address is, because you have to put it in that document and then enable that port forwarding page. You know, save it and all of that nine yards. So this gets a little involved. There's several ways you can do it. The easiest way I have found is you go into DOS on your computer. You pull up the, you go into run. It depends on whether you're using XP or Vista or Windows 7, but you want to get into the DOS command page. And then you simply type on that open line, ipconfig, I-P-C-O-N-F-I-G with a space, a slant bar, and then all, A-L-L. And it'll come up with a long dissertation of telling you everything you need to know about how the network is set up. And in that documentation will give you the IP address that that computer is currently using to talk to the router. Now, in the majority of cases, that number will be 192.168.1.something. Maybe 100, maybe 102, maybe 106, or whatever. But it tells you what it is, and that's what you have to put in your port forwarding page. Does that make any sense, or did I really complicate it, Scott? Over.
Oh, well, I understand completely there. Yep, that helped out a lot. And, you know, like I said, I'm not very computer literate. I can get around pretty well, but when it came to the port forwarding, I was, I was in the dark when I first started with Echolink. But since then, I've had a little more experience with it, but I figured some other people would like a better explanation, and you did it. So thank you very much. All right, well, back over to you from N5HUM.
Okay, thank you. And while I've got you, Scott, how's Henry doing tonight? And how's your daughter doing, incidentally? I haven't heard anything on that department.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Yeah, Zoe's doing fine. She started back into school Tuesday, so she was out for a week and a day. And then Henry, with the high fever, you know, that was kind of scary. But, yeah, he's doing better. He's sleeping right now. I just went in and checked on him. He's doing fine. His temperature has been staying below 101, which is good. And the doctor said that as long as it doesn't get any higher than 102, not to administer any medication for it, to let the fever run, because it is the body's natural defenses against infection. So unless it gets up there again, which I don't think it will, I'm hoping it won't at least, but seems like he's gotten through the worst part of it, and now the body is just taking over and doing what it needs to do to rid itself of that nasty virus. So, but thanks again for asking. N5HUM, back to you there, Gordon.
Sounds to me like you're gearing up to be a paramedic and then going on for a doctor's degree. Glad to hear it. Thanks, Scott. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Gordon here for South Cars, KY6V. Do we have any other questions pertaining to what Scott was talking about on setting up port forwarding, please? Over. Okay, hearing nada, floor is open. What's the next question this evening? I'm having fun. I hope you are. Over.
Sierra United November.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Hi, Kathy. My, You have been around so long, I thought you should have been running this program tonight. What question do you have? Over.
Well, Gordon, you're really funny. I've only been around 3 years, probably, going on four. But I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from you and everyone else. But, you know, before I ask you my question, I'm going to, hopefully, Scott is still there. He hasn't told us much about Amelie, how she's doing and how he actually is doing. And, you know, he's a Mr. Mom right now, so maybe he's not working. So I just thought I'd throw that out to him first of all and see how she's doing and how he's doing and how the job situation is doing, because it sounds like he's being a medic, just like you said. And then I'll give you a question. So N5HUM, can you come aboard and just give us an update?
No problem there, Kathy, and thank you for asking as well. And let's see, yeah, I've done fine through this whole thing. I did not get sick, thank goodness. But Amelie was sick for a while there, but she's better now as well. But I have to give it to her, because like you said, yes, I'm still, excuse me, I'm still looking for a job, and it's hasn't been easy. This is the bad time of the year to be without a job and looking for one, especially in my field with carpentry. But I have to give it to her because she's going to school, and she goes to school Tuesday through Thursday at 11, and then Friday and Saturday at 9, gets out of school about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then goes to work, and working the night shift until 2 in the morning. So she's really feeling the effects of that, and, you know, it's been taking a lot to make sure she doesn't have to come home to a messy house and clean, because she is a clean freak. So I try to make sure everything's spick and span for her so she doesn't have to do anything. And she can either study or go to bed, and there's not much time for either one of those with the schedule she has, so she needs all the time she can get. So, but yeah, everybody seems to be doing okay now, and as long as Henry's fever stays down where it is, and actually the last three times I checked his temperature, it was only 99.3 two times, and then 0.5 this last time. But that's just a low-grade fever. There's really nothing too abnormal about that. So seems like everybody is on the mend finally. All right, well, I'll send it back to you there, Kathy, so you can ask your question. K6SUN from N5HUM.
Well, thank you so much, Scott, for the update. I was curious. I've heard you talk about Amelie at school, and I know how hard that is. I went through that for many years, but I didn't go to a job, so that's got to be very difficult. And I'm sure she appreciates all you do with the family and the household and everything else. I was just curious. But I do have a question, and Scott opened the door a little bit with the IP address, and that's one of my questions. And you may have covered a little bit of this, I think, when you were talking about the IP address. And, you know, I've done a lot to, and you've taught me a lot with the IP addresses and how each computer and each printer and has a different address and how important it is. So, you know, but can you tell me and everyone listening why we have an internal IP address and why we have an outside IP address? KY6D from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Oh, let me say, Kathy, it's just marvelous how this digital world works. And it all comes out the way that it should, and it's all either highs or lows or ones and zeros. But the internal and external IP addressing uses a number sequence that is different, okay? The internal IP address is used for your equipment to route itself around your home network or office environment. You know, as an example, if you have three or four computers in your house and you're using a router, it routes around between these various pieces of equipment with an internal address. And more times than not, It'll be something like 192.168.1.100 or 102 or 105 or 106 or something similar. Now, there's some other schemes, too, but that's basically the ones you run in more times than something different. Now, the outside world IP addresses differ considerably. One would look like 74.204.50.76 as an example, and I want to tell you that is the address that you are currently using to connect to the SCARS server, the one that I just mentioned. So the outside world uses a different scheme. The inside local network uses yet a different scheme. And then to compound the felony, there's a thing called the DNS server, Delta November Sierra server. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. And this dude's pretty sharp. You can put in a server name as opposed to the external IP address. Let's talk about SCARS. You can put in southcars.com, and this DNS server, which is external to your home or location or office, will say, I know what southcars.com is. It's 74.204.50.76, and it routes it to the SouthCars server, and bing, bang, you're there. Does that make sense, Kathy? Over.
It sure does, and thank you so much for helping myself as well as everyone else, and you've helped me through the years. So thank you so much, and let's see if there's any other questions out there or any questions or comments on this question, Gordon, or any other further questions, because I have some others I'd like to go, but, you know, we don't want to keep you up all night, and so we want to know your time as well, so... I'm going to throw it back to you, see if there's any comments out there. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to our, and I think it's a net control this evening, KY60.
Well, I don't know if I'm the narrator or net control, but I'm enjoying it, Kathy. Thank you. We're 8:21, so we're 21 minutes into the second hour. So we'll see how it goes. I've got all the time in the world. I can stay here until the cows come home. Any questions on IP addressing as raised by Kathy, please, or any comments that were not covered? Please call now.
RMO.
Give me an A. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey! I have, as long as we're on the subject of IP addresses, I had a question. Do we need to know these IP addresses if you're going to set up a router? Do we need those to set up our router? How important is that? Maybe you could shed some light on that one.
Yeah, that's a great question, too. Thanks, Gary. KY6V for SouthCars. Yes, in most cases you do. It is important also to set your IP address to a static state and get away from dynamic, and we'll try to get into that a little later. The router by design assigns the internal IP address for each piece of equipment it is trying to control. This is called the DHCP, Delta Hotel Charlie Papa assignment area of the router. Should you lose commercial power briefly, or you turn your router or computer off and then back on, the router may well assign a different IP address to your Echolink computer and stop you dead in your tracks unless you've taken the time to assign a permanent static address. But with all of that said, let me say that it is important primarily in setting up your router, Gary, to know what your IP address is between the computer and the router. and then you enter that IP address, and it's an internal IP address. It's your local network in the routing tables. In most cases, but not in all, but I would say in probably 90 or 95%, the IP address that talks, your internal IP address that talks between your router and your modem is automatically found and established. The IP address for the outside world is one that is assigned by your ISP server. So that's sort of automatic. So the only one you really have to worry about in setting up port forwarding is your internal IP address when it comes to Echolink, sir. Over.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I actually a while ago was playing around with that, and I didn't know if it was, you know, if it was critical all the time, if this was just unique to me, you know, was this just a setup problem or setup not irregularity, but just something unusual that was going on my network, because I was messing around with it a little bit too, and now I see this all in a different and a much improved light. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's a common pitfall, Gary, let's say your wife has got a computer and you've got a computer and you're sharing the ISP service through a router. Okay. One needs to remember that the router assigns the internal IP address for both of these computers. And, of course, they'll be different. One might be .101 and the next one .102 or whatever. Okay. Under normal circumstances, and I want you to think about this, Gary, you both turn off your repeater or your computers and you go to bed. Under normal circumstances, you get up before Stephanie and you turn on your computer, so you are assigned the first IP address out of the router. She is assigned the second. But let's say one morning she gets up before you, and she turns on her computer first, and she gets an assignment of the number that you had yesterday, but she's got it today, and your port forwarding doesn't work anymore, and you can't squawk on Echolink. Does that make sense? Over.
Oh, very much so. Because we had a similar situation to that right here. So I do know firsthand how that went. So this is extremely enlightening. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the obvious answer to that, KY6V for South Cars, is set your computer up for a static IP address. It's easy to do. Just go to Network Connections or Network Systems and tell the router, I am going to be 192.168.1.100, and don't you doggone think about changing me. And then Stephanie comes in and says, I'm going to do the same thing. I want to be .101, and don't you dare change me. And once that's done, the problem is gone, Gary. Over.
Yeah, that is precisely what I ended up doing. And, again, I thought it was maybe just unique to this setup that we have here. But I think anybody listening can pretty well figure out that if you're in a network situation with maybe more than one computer, or if you're doing anything like Echolink or something similar to that, really a static IP makes a lot of sense. And when you think about it, commercially, nobody uses DHCP just for that reason, too. So, you know, that's another reason to kind of consider doing that. Sure makes a lot more sense. Thanks an awful lot, Gordon. This is KC2RMO, back to the net.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Any questions or comments on this last parley, please? Over.
Alim, Charlie Bravo with observation, Gordon, and then I also have a question for you.
All right, I'll parley both of them, sir. Go right ahead, George.
Yeah, okay. You know, you were talking about IP addresses, and I just want to make a comment to those out there, you know, about they can take their little mouse and in the center of the page under stations, whatever, I don't know how it's set up, but mine is set up with alarms. But I can hover that little cursor over a particular call sign, you know, and it gives me information there. And if I want to know more, if I right-click on that call, it'll open a box that'll show ask information. And if you click on that, that will give you the external IP address that you are using there. You might could elaborate more on that, and I'll come back for your next question, sir.
Yeah, good point, George. KY6V here for South Cars. What George is saying, guys and gals, if you go into your EchoLink program, either in your alarms or your main user listing, and you right-click on a call sign, it will bring up a box, and it gives you a number of options. Right at the top of that box, it says show information, I think. I don't have it open in front of me, but something like that. And if you click on show information, it will come back and tell you what the user's external IP address is. You know, you can click on your call or you can click on who you're connected to, but it'll come back and give you the external IP address, which is very beneficial to know. Unfortunately, and you know, it just doesn't happen the way things are set up, that you can also find out what your internal IP address. You'd have to go a different way. And George knows how to do that, too, because he's been there a lot of times. Go ahead, George, and what's your other question?
Yeah, okay, I got it there. Well, Gordon, you know, I noticed earlier you was talking about port triggering and all, you know, and you had mentioned a UDP and a TCP and... as to or both, you know, and just what is the difference between the UDP and the TCP? Maybe you can kind of open that one up a little bit. Maybe we can get a better understanding of it. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to you.
Oh, my goodness, you're giving me a run for my money tonight, George. You and Kathy. KY6V here, it depends on how you hold your tongue in your mouth. You know, it's just different protocol, UDP and TCP. UDP stands for User Datagram Protocol, where TCP stands for Transmission Control Protocol. In simple English, the UDP system does not use a lot of the stringent packet checking that is used with TCP traffic. Okay? It's a looser goose, if you will. It is commonly felt that a loss of a packet during VOIP-type communication is not a large concern as it would be in texting type information. So we basically use, and particularly here on EchoLink, the UDP protocol for the VOIP side, and we use TCP when we're trying to talk in the text box. How does that sound, George? Over.
Well, you made a lot clearer for us, Gordon. I appreciate that. Maybe someone else might have another question on that. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, thank you.
Thank you, kind sir. Any comments or questions on this particular part, please? KY6V. Okay, I see we're 34 minutes into the second hour here. It looks to me like, in watching the text box, that... Earlene up there in Indiana may have a question. Earlene, are you still with us, or are you watching the ball game? Over.
Well, Gordon, you'll be surprised to know that I don't have any games on. You have my complete attention this evening, and you have taken what could sometimes be a very dry technical subject and made it very, very interesting. So thank you for that, Gordon. And last week, I was kind of playing around with my Echolink setup, and I figured out that I could change the way Echolink looks. And it worked with my screen reader. Both setups worked with my screen reader. And when I say setup, I mean the way that the stations are listed. And one thing that might be curious to people who are new, if you are looking at your station list and you want to find a particular station, how can you find a station when there are over 5,000 active stations at any given time? And V9H back to net control.
Boy, that's a great question, too. You forced me to look up on my screen here, and there are 5,317 stations connected worldwide to Echolink as we speak. Earlene, one will find an icon in the toolbar at the top of the Echolink program that looks like a pair of binoculars, okay? Black in color. And when clicking on this icon, a second small window will appear. Simply place the call sign of the interest in this box and click on Find, and this program will search the available information, highlight its findings, and bingo, you're there. Saves a lot of scrolling and a lot of hunting and pecking, and, you know, let the program do the work. Does that answer your question, Earlene? Over.
Well, you know, Gordon, those of us who use JAWS, we don't have that. Our toolbar is a little different, and I have to play around with JAWS or with Echolink to see if I can figure out how to make that find work. But what I was thinking about, because what I have found access to is on your station list, you can get a station list in two different ways. The first way seems to be the default way, which is where everything is listed. You have your repeaters first, and then your links, and then your nodes, and then the star conference servers. Well, the other day I discovered if I press my control key, my left control key, and my page down key, I can get a whole different layout. It'll be new stations, followed by, they may not be in the right order, followed by nodes, and then followed by favorites. So I have changed that to be my default setup when I open Echolink, and it's much easier now to find what I want because I put what I want to be able to have access to quickly in my favorites. And I also had the nodes memorized. But that's fine. I'm going to have to work on that and see if I can get that to work with JAWS. Thank you, Gordon, and V9H.
Well, Earlene, you raise an excellent point here, KY6V. There's a lot of tricks to this program, and it's sort of neat. If you go into the index view, which is the view that gives you a complete listing of everybody connected on Echolink. And it's normally structured. As you say, it'll group all the repeaters with the double gears at the top, and then it'll group all of the links with a pair of links as an icon, then single users as a group, and then the conference servers as a, you know, two people in the icon. Now you can go up to the top of that listing where the call signs are and click it once. and everything will go into alphabetical order. And you can do this with the columns as you work from left to right. And where it becomes particularly useful is, let's say you have a node number for a station and you don't have the location or the call sign. So if you go over to the node number column, which follows the default setting of grouping repeaters and links and so on, and left-click that call-out at the top of the column just once, everything goes into numerical order. And if you're looking for node number 5527, just picking that off my head, you just scroll down that numerical listing till you get to 5527 and look directly to the left, and you got everything you need, Erlene. Over.
N5XCX.
Hi, Woody. Stand by. I'll be right with you, sir. Nice to have you here tonight. What do you say about the last comment, Erlene? Over.
Well, George, Gordon, I'm sorry. I'll have to research that a little bit more. My JAWS scripts don't give me those joys of navigation, but I'll look into it for sure. Thank you, Gordon.
Oh, I see a new revision of JAWS coming out. Okay, thanks, Erlene. Hey, Mr. Mount Dora, welcome back to the real world. Go ahead, Woody.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year, belatedly, but it is to me because I've been in East Texas all this time. And you probably know why. So anyway, for Erlene's search there, you know, for help, Erlene, you can hit Control F, like Frank, and that'll bring up your search box. Okay, and from there, I don't know what y'all's does. Anyway, that'll help you out a little bit. I just happened to check in here real quick and hear you guys talking and wanted to let you know that. So I'll stand by for a little bit. I want to say it's cold down here in the outdoor because, you know, we're thin-blooded. But it was a lot colder in East Texas. Anyway, it's 58 degrees here in Mount Dora because that front blew through this afternoon in 5XCX. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, Woody. Well, sure, nice having you back. The weather prognosticator for our area, which is right next to yours, says that we're going to get down to about 45 tonight. And I've concluded that's a too blanket night for me, anyway. How's your internet access? You're sounding great. Are you still on DSL or what, Woody? Over.
Yeah, for a while. It does stop every once in a while, but they keep borrowing a new modem. And the new modem did the same thing, you know, dropped out after about 25 minutes or so, you know, and which is terrible. But then I found out, I called the phone company and talked to another repair tech in a whole series of repair techs, and this one finally figured out and told me that it's because of that magic jack. And using the Magic Jack Plus, which plugs into the router, and it goes all the time, you know. But it's like you said, the Magic Jack, you know, when it receives a call, takes so much whatever bandwidth or whatever from the internet that it locks up everything. Well, I found out that I could unplug the internet, the Magic Jack Plus, you know, give the modem a chance to catch itself back up, fire up again, and then plug the Magic Jack Plus back in, and everything would work fine. So, yeah, such a simple solution. This is N5HCX.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't want to take the theme of the net here out of context, but we need to talk about that. Blackjack has always been a menace. It considers itself number one, Woody. And it'll blow everything else out of the way on your computer. When that telephone rings, stand by for Hiroshima. Are you on a proxy now, sir, or are you getting through normally without a proxy, or what?
No, that's one good thing with the modem, with this new modem that he replaced, using the phone company's new it's called the PK5000 modem, it has, it's supposed to have a router built into it. It has four jacks in the back, so I can plug the Magic Jack Plus into one of the router jacks and the computer into the other router jack. Well, and I don't have to have a proxy. I don't know why, but it'll work on Echolink without a proxy now. It won't work on my my remote base program that I get from Andy Hams, you know, for the remote hams thing. But it does work on Echolink, so you know that's part of the good anyway. Yeah, you and I ought to get together one of these days when we have a few minutes and, you know, we can go into this thing. But right now, yeah, I won't take up too much net time here. N5XCX, back to you there, Mr. G. You have a good evening, sir.
Yeah, you too, Woody. Thank you very much, sir. Sorry for you and your family and the loss. And what's been involved with you here for the last number of weeks. Yeah, we'll talk, and we'll take it from there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're 48 minutes into the second hour here. Do we have any other questions from the audience that you'd like to parley? We're talking about Echolink questions and answers. Anything that's bothering you, anything that you'd like to cuss and discuss. If I don't have the answer, I'll find somebody that's got one. Please call now. Over.
Sierra United November.
Hey, Kathy. Lay it on me here, lady. We had been talking earlier today, and I think you were, one of your thoughts was to discuss maybe what Earlene and I were just discussing, but what have you got? Over.
You know, actually it was, you know, and I think you probably have answered it. I want to say hi to Woody out there, and I agree with Gordon. I understand your loss and what's been happening, so our thoughts are with you. But it was nice hearing you tonight. And, you know, I think you've answered this question. I stepped away for a moment, but I did hear something about the node numbers. And, you know, as I do the hospitality, you know, as I go in doing our different nets and check some of these node numbers, I'm not familiar with some of them, and so I usually check the icon I have on my desktop, and it'll bring up where they're from, and I can go check the roster. You know, my question was, how does one find a particular station if only the node number is known? And I think you've really answered that. But, you know, I know Gary out there has, or not Gary, but Scott, has a question he'd like to ask you about the icons on the left of the screen. So if you've answered mine, I know he has a question out there for you. And you let us know how long you want to continue, because, you know, we could continue with several more questions, but don't want to hold you up from your dinner and your evening. But I am thoroughly enjoying, and I hope everyone is. So, KY6V, and I'm going to say this right now to you, Mr. Gordon. Why didn't you come aboard as a birthday station? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Oh, you had to ask that, didn't you? Well, the truth of the matter, I was probably fumbling around here to try to get everything in order for the net tonight, and I don't even recall you asking for birthdays. And I'm not going to get into that because I don't have birthdays anymore, even if it's coming up on Monday. So there. Well, as I mentioned to Earlene, on node numbers, if that's the only thing you have, just go into the index view, which lists everything. Go over to that column, and at the top header, left-click on that, Kathy, and it'll put everything in that column in numerical order. Once that happens, you just scroll down to the number you're looking for, and you're there, lady. Over.
Well, I knew you had answered it, but, you know, I have that icon on my desktop, and it's very easy to bring it up whenever I see it. You know, I always do a check on it. So I knew you had answered it, but I thought I'd throw it out there. But I knew that the icons, when I mentioned the icon, was very similar to a question that Scott mentioned to me earlier today. So I thought that would just give you a clue to maybe call on Scott and see if he can ask you his question. And once again, you have to let us know your evening, how things are going, how long you want to go or you want to conclude it. And Scott will also have to let me know if he wants me to end the session this evening or he wants to close it. But I'm here for the duration, however long you want to go. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. KY6V here for South Cars. Well, I'm good for the duration. However, I'm going to let that decision rest with our section manager, N5HUM. Stand tall, sir. You're coming up next. We can continue this, obviously, in future sessions. I think we've got some good points across tonight, but like everything else, you know, there's a lot to cover, and what's reasonable in time is reasonable in time. According to Kathy, you had some kind of a question on icons. Is that right, Scott? Please go ahead.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo, if you don't mind.
Yeah, hi, George. Stand by. I'll pick you right up in a minute. LCB, stand by. HUM, go ahead, please.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Gordon, go ahead and pick up George there. He might have had a comment for something that Kathy said. So before we get off of her topic there, go right ahead.
Sounds good to me, sir. Mr. T, go ahead, George.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Getting back into the little buying box, the little glasses there. I have noticed, and I didn't hear it come out, but if I type a call in that box there, you know, and it will, let's say if I type my call in there and I was hooked up to SCARS, that's going to give me everybody's a call sign that's in that group. And sometimes, you'll be clicking for somebody, but you'll be clicking on to somebody else. So you really have to scroll down that whole list to find the exact person that or the exact call that you're looking for and click. Connect directly to that person, or you wind up connecting to a person that's connected to that person. Maybe you could straighten this one out for me.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a Chinese fire and boat drill, George. KY6V. Let me see how I can try to explain that. If we're in a net session on SCARS and we've got 50 people connected, and if they've got we're connected enabled on their system, when you type in SCARS as an example, asterisk, S-C-A-R-S, asterisk, it's going to stop at the, coming from the top of the list to the bottom, it's going to stop at the first station that's connected there to SCARS. And that's not SCARS, that's a person that's connected there. And then if you click further, it'll go down to the next station that is connected to SCARS. So the only way that you can do that properly is to just scroll down the left-hand column, George, until you get to SCARS itself, and then click on that if that's where you need to connect. Is that what you're trying to say? Over.
You got it there. First time that happened to me, I really rubbed my head over it there, but you kind of brought it out, so as long as you keep scrolling down, you'll find what you want. Appreciated that, sir. We'll let you get back to Scott. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, that situation should not happen if you're going for a specific call letter, be it a dash L, dash R, or straight vanilla. It should pretty well get you there on the first lap. Okay, Scott, N5HUM, KY6V, what we're asking of you as section manager, how do you want to continue here, number one? Any questions, number two? And go for it. Over.
All right, Gordon, thank you there. N5HUM returning. And, well, if we run out of questions, I guess we could end it. If you're getting tired, which you said you're not, but I do have a question that's a little bit off topic about the operation of EchoLink that I want to ask you, but I wanted to wait till the end so we don't get off topic with that. But the question that anyway, what I'm saying is whenever you're ready to call it quits, you just let us know, and I will end the net there. With that last question that I have for you. But the question that I had right now was about that index view. They have a bunch of different icons on the left, and I wanted to know what those icons on the left of the screen represented when you're looking in the index view there. So with that, I'll send it back over to you, Gordon. KY6V from N5HUM.
All right, Scott. Well, as I said, you know, I'm not time-restrained at all. I just don't want to keep people from other things that they may need to do, and we could continue this in an episode number two or something, but I'm game. Hey, on the icons on the left-hand side of the index page, under default conditions, if you haven't played around with changing the column, by this left clicking that I was talking about, it starts off with all of the repeaters at the top, and that icon is a pair of gears, and that is the icon that they use for a repeater, a dash R EchoLink system. And then as you scroll beyond these double gears, you find a section that shows two links, like in a chain link. And that is the icon that denotes that this is a link. Now, under protocol, this doesn't always happen this way, but under normal protocol, a dash L system is a simplex link. It's not in the repeater system, and it's not full duplex. Private guys that are covering their area, they like to use their link with handhelds when they're walking around the house and up and down the street and that kind of thing. That's two links in the icon. Then as you scroll out of that group going further down the listing, you see a picture of a single person. And that means a single operator. That is a station that is neither a repeater or a link, that is using his computer to communicate on Echolink. And then as you go further down that list, you'll run into an icon on the left that represents two people's pictures, two faces. And that is to denote that these are the conference servers, and you'll notice that all of their nomenclature starts with an asterisk, ends with an asterisk, such as SCARS, asterisk, S-C-A-R-S, asterisk. These are conference servers that handle many people at the same time. We are currently set for, let me buy a nickel here before I time out. We are currently set here on SCARS for 2,000 simultaneous stations. I'll tell you what, we've got such a highfalutin, state-of-the-art system. We can throw a switch and go to 10,000 in a beat. So, Scott, bring them on. We'll get them a seat. How's that, Scott? Over.
All right. Excellent explanation there. And I think Earlene may have a comment there about how, she uses JAWS. And I see in the text box there she's talking about JAWS compared to how we use it. And I think she may have a comment on that aspect of it. So I'll send it back to you, and then we'll see. I guess you can see if Earlene wants to come in and make a comment about that. So KY6V from N5HUM. Thank you there, Gordon.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Earlene, please go ahead. You and I walk different paths in this world, I guess. JAWS to me was that big shark that was a man-eater. Go ahead, Earlene, over. Okay, one more time. Earlene, did you have a comment on JAWS, please? November Bravo 9 Hotel from KY6V in South Cars. All right, possibly she stepped away. We'll try her again here in just a little bit. All right, we're 4 minutes into the third hour. I'm doing fine. Any other questions out there? Just throw them out, and we'll see how they can be parlayed. KY6V, South Cars, over.
Sierra United, November.
Victor, X-ray pop-up.
All right, I've got you, Kathy. I've got Rick. Anybody else? Okay, Rick, stand by one. S-U-N, you're on the pulpit, please. Kathy, over.
This is Kilo 6, Sierra United, November. I do have a question, but Earlene's comment in the text box, and she may be away from her computer, was when she's using JAWS, they cannot click on the icons on the toolbar because the focus is not set to the toolbar when using JAWS. She says it's very interesting to see how you use Echolink, so it would be interesting to see what she has to say, but it looks like she may be away. I also wanted to let you know that George, KW4LCB, says he has a very early morning, and so he's going to be leaving. But let me see if Earlene wants to come aboard and make any comments. I have one question, and I think it's probably about time we close this evening, and then we'll just bring this up another session. And I think Earlene's back, so let me call on Earlene and see if she can come aboard and make her comment, and I'll give you a question and see where you want to go from there. NB98, Earlene, I knew you stepped away, but I knew you had a comment about the icons. Would you like to come aboard?
All right. Well, I hate to say this to you, pretty lady, but Earlene, we heard nada. That was a great key down, but no audio. I know that you're, at least you mentioned the other day, you think you've got a short in your microphone cable, but can you wiggle it, slam it, do something, try again? Over. No, you didn't slam it hard enough. one more time. You know, put the laptop down on top of it hard. Over. Ah, that's a shame. Earlene, I'll get you marked down here and we'll try to get back to you. But right now, I think you know your problem. You're just not getting audio to the computer. Before I pick up Rick here, Kathy, did you have a question, please? Over.
Yes, I did. And I'm not sure if there's any other questions out there, but we'd sure like to pick up Rick. But why don't you call on Rick first? He may have a question on what we talked about. And then I'd like to maybe make a final question. And maybe you'd like to make some final calls out there. Because I know we have a lot more we could talk about, but it's getting late for you as well as everyone. So maybe call on Rick first. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, KY6B.
Okay, Kathy. You're the net manager. I don't know who's running this show tonight, you or me. Rick, go ahead. VXP, please. Mr. Ohio.
This is N1TXP. Yeah, my question is, in the sys setup, clicking over to the audio, I had this question brought up to me one time before, and I said, well, let me try something. I know normally the default is there are three windows, and it's usually set up in the open, in full, duplex. And this person asked me, they said, what happens if you put it into auto, sample, rate, compensation? And I said, well, maybe, I don't know, if the Echolink picks up the audio and pretty well sets it. But, you know, this was all in regards to at times when certain stations would be cutting out, sounded like packet loss. But I have noticed lately that that hasn't been happening anymore. But what are your thoughts on that audio setup, which would be probably the proper setup? And what's the XP back to net control?
Well, Rick, I think you'll find that on our website also as suggested setups. I will tell you this. I've been running Echolink since Jonathan Taylor first came out with it, and I think it was about 2001, something like that. On your audio window, I have never found it necessary to open in full duplex. I have never found it necessary to auto sample rate compensation. And although I have played with a 300 hertz high-pass filter, I found I didn't really need to play with it anymore. I have none of those checked on my systems, and I have quite a few, and it goes for quite a number of years, sir. So, however you want to go, over.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because actually, when I set up Echolink, for some odd reason, it was clicked on the open and full duplex. So you're suggesting I should not have any of those clicked. But, you know, that was only because at the time, like I say, on other conferences, they were cutting out a lot. And everybody said, well, it might be in your own system. But I haven't noticed it lately. So I just thought I'd bring it up. Like I say, it was a discussion I had with one of the guys on one of the other conferences, and it was on a TechNet, and you know, he said, well, his was not set up, and I said, okay. So I just thought I'd bring it up and see what the answer is, and I definitely will check the on the I'll just check on SCAR's website there for the information. And what's your XP back to that?
Okay. Rick, are you familiar, sir, with the icon in the toolbars that looks like a row of different colored crayons? It's just to the right of the five-fingered hand. If you click on that, It brings up connection statistics. This is a valuable tool. It shows you a bar graph of the sent packets, the net packets, the audio, the number of packets that have been lost. In most cases, I will say to you that you will probably find, not in all cases, but in most cases, that you either have a problem with your ISP feed, or more likely, a buffer problem. And the buffer is the audio storage problem segment in your audio sound card. When I say a problem, it's just not passing serving and then passing the packets properly. But you can take a look at this connection statistics, and it gives you a pretty good idea of what's happening, Rick. Over.
Yeah, I just clicked on that. I see what you mean. And the other thing is, in that setup, there is a performance with an adjustment, and I never play with that at all, but that I could see where maybe that's not set properly.
Well, I think you're going to find the defaults pretty good. If you look on the right of that particular window, it says, I think it's a 5 and a 10, 120 milliseconds overall. In about 99% of the cases, that doesn't need to be changed. All right, Rick. Well, we can talk about this later and, you know, play with this statistics window, and that may give you a lead as well. Kathy, back to you. Did you have a question, please? KY6B.
Well, actually, Gordon, I have a few questions, but it's getting late in the evening. I'm sure you're getting tired as well as everyone else, so I may just have to ask you those personally and off the server. And I know Scott has a final question, so you may want to think about ending your session tonight. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Learned a lot. Learned more than I did know. And maybe we'll just have to talk about the couple questions I have. But maybe call on Scott, N5HUM. He had a question I know he wanted to ask you. And I know George has had to leave, so maybe just throw it out there to see if there's any other questions from anyone. And we can talk at some other time. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra, United November. And thank you for a wonderful session this evening.
Well, thank you, Mademoiselle, for allowing me to be here tonight, and I've had fun. All right, at the net manager's discretion here, I want to thank everybody that's participated tonight. I've really enjoyed it. I hope we've discussed things that are meaningful to all of us. And we'll have more sessions like this when time permits. N5HUM, did you have a question, sir? And I'm going to let you take it from here. And pass it to Kathy, or you close it out, or Kathy can, or whatever the situation is, Scott. N5HUM from KY6B.
All right, Gordon. Well, thank you very much, like Kathy said. We really appreciate you fielding all these questions, and this one might be a doozy for you. So, but it came up recently on a couple of different conference servers that I have went to. And this really probably pertains more to a link station or a repeater station, and that's why I wanted to bring it up last, so we didn't get off topic with the somebody setting up the Echolink for their personal computer. But it's about IDing, you know, the identification of your repeater, and that ID going out over the air to where everybody connected is also getting that ID coming out over their system. And I've heard people saying that it's against the FCC rules, and then other people are saying that it's not. And I was wondering if you could shed some light on that. And the main thing is, what I hear is, you know, like I have a link station. So say your repeater is IDing itself over the air, coming out over my link as well. and my link is not your link. So what's the deal with that, and what can be done to keep that from happening as well? So with that, we'll make that the final question for this evening, Gordon, and we'll send it back to you, and then after that I will close it down. So KY6D from N5HUM, back over to you.
Oh, my goodness gracious and sakes alive. That is a total subject in itself. I'll answer that in a general manner, and then we can get into details more if you'd like. Let me ask you a question first. You don't hear that on SCARS, do you?
Oh, roger that. And there's quite a few other conference servers that will boot you if your repeater is IDing over the air like that. So, but yeah, that's I figured it's just, you know, good common courtesy as a ham radio operator to keep your IDing on your local area, because you're just IDing for yourself. You don't need to ID over the internet as well. And that's the way I took it. But for the past couple of days, I have been looking at different Part 97 rules about IDing, and there's really nothing in there that tells you that it is not right to do that, or that you should have it set up this way. So I was just wondering, thought maybe you would know a little more about that.
Yeah, fortunately or unfortunately, I've lived with that for a long time. Scott, KY6V here. First, it's common courtesy. A repeater owner or... And it's normally repeaters or links, but not necessarily too much with a link department. Must understand that when their ID or their courtesy beep or their local announcements, you know, there will be an Aries net on Thursday night at 7 o'clock types of thing, should not be aired over the internet. Further, these people need to realize, and most of them who have this problem, once you talk with them, understand it very quickly and do something about it. I've been very pleased with that. They have to realize that the moment that their courtesy beep, their ID, their local announcement comes up, they have commanded the frequency. Okay? There's only one person that can talk on Echolink at one time. So if they command the frequency first and run their local announcement, and particularly during a net operation, can you imagine this happening on a Saturday with us? It just raises holy heck. Now, the things that need to be considered here are twofold. If the repeater owner and trustee understand the situation, the Echolink interface is only keyed when local transmission some user is using the repeater. It is not keyed at the point of the controller, audio path or keying path, when anything else is happening, like canned announcements, IDs, courtesy beeps, and so on. This is easy to fix. The second problem, let me buy a nickel here, is that when a Echolink station tries to assist a local repeater, he's in one part of town, the repeater is in another part of town, they're transmitting on RF, we get into a lot of trouble because these announcements and courtesy beeps and IDs come back into his system and then automatically replayed on Echolink or on the internet. Now there's a ways to get around that. PL operation between this linking Echolink station and the repeater. The PL is wired in a manner at the repeater where only the PL will energize when a user is talking into the input of the repeater, okay? That means that at any other time, these IDs and other information are transmitted without a PL. The linking station or supporting station is running a tone squelch system. If he doesn't hear a PL, he's not going to hear these IDs. They don't go over internet. It's a little involved, but it's workable, Scott. Over.
Okay, Roger that. And yeah, I know what you mean with the PL there. I know a lot of our local repeaters, if you're using the PL on your 2-meter radio, you don't hear the PL. I mean, the code ID coming out. So I see how that could fix it. Now, one other quick thing is that against the rules for, and that was really the main thing, because they have one guy who keeps berating everybody who has it coming out over the internet that he could get a fine for IDing this other station or something like that when it's not even his station. So how about that? And then we can call it quits for the night. KY6V from N5HUM.
I'm not sure I totally understood the question. First, the FCC Part 97 states that you will ID every 10 minutes, be you a repeater, a single user, whatever. That is being ID'd over an RF path. The ID is not required for an internet infrastructure setup. That's number one. Number two, if somebody is IDing into your system, that needs to be stopped. I don't think it's illegal. You know, if you link two repeaters together, as an example, you're going to hear the IDs on both sides. I don't believe that's a problem, but we'd have to talk about that further, Scott. Over.
Okay, Roger that. That pretty much answered it right there, and that's what I thought as well. You know, whether it's, you know, just a regular RF link, like you said, between two repeaters, you're going to hear their IDs, or if it's a internet linking system such as EchoLink, linking those two repeaters together, you could you might hear the other ID for the other repeater, although you shouldn't. So that was my main question there, and you answered that. So. All right, well, I'll send it back to you for any finals you have, and then I will go ahead and start closing down the net. So thanks again, Gordon. And back over to you, KY6V from N5HUM.
Okay, I'm all set on this end. Thanks for having me, Scott. Let's do it again. I have a lot of fun doing this. You know, we've got some good archives, too, that we could dig back into when time permits. On, as I mentioned earlier when we opened up, EchoLink 101, and then we went into an EchoLink 102. It was like a college class. Take it right from the beginning and just start boring through the tunnel. Thank you, Scott, and regards to the family. KY6V, back to you.
All right, yeah, and thank you, Gordon, and everybody else who participated as well. And as Woody put in the text box there, yes, that's exactly what I think, Woody. IDing over someone else's system with your automatic ID is just rude and not common courtesy when it comes to the way we do things as hams. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and start closing down tonight, and thanks again, everybody. We definitely had a great time, and look at that, right at 30 minutes into the second hour. So definitely a nice long net. All right, well, this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Well, your net control for this session was Gordon, KY6V, and this is N5HUM closing the net. Saying 73 and closing this VOIP session. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. This net is closed. Oh, and don't forget to join us Saturday for our nets starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And they run throughout the day, as everybody knows. So, all right, well, 73, everybody. Have a great night. N5HUM, I'll be there.